T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We made it, y'all. It's Friday. It is Friday NBA. Rick Hamlet, John Michaels. We're about to throw our midday party, and we're glad to have you on board. All kinds of awesome stuff to talk about in the world of sports. Jersey Week concludes for me. We're going to set an over-under on short-timer syndrome for me because I'm off all next week. We have a music poll that we need to check in as well.
Uh-huh.
The Hawks took an L last night to another tanky team, the Sacramento Kings. Coach Bud? Thank you for benching Dennis Schroeder last night and resting him.
He couldn't score 41 to buzzkill a draft choice last night.
You can't score anything when you're not in the game, John.
That is true.
And we probably would have won that game last night with Dennis Schroeder. So shout out to Coach Bud for that awesome decision. We are third in the lottery standings as we speak. But John Michaels, good morning, brother.
Good morning. Had a lot of fun last night. Bud Light, our Ball and Brew takeover. We were at Hammerheads out in Suwannee. Let's just say that's a crowd that was very receptive to 92.9 The Game. I ended up being there. The event ended at 7. I probably didn't leave till almost 8. Just talking to folks, talking about, you know, the station and sports and all that in general. Got to give a shout out to a couple people. Chris Gardner could not make it. His girlfriend Chelsea is one of the bartenders at Hammerheads. And she said, my boyfriend loves you guys. He was stuck at work. He couldn't get here. Wanted to say hi to him. Got to give a shout out to another gentleman by the name of Chris. He recommended yesterday via text and tweet that I should try the peel and eat shrimp there. So a half a pound of peel and eat shrimp later, I was feeling really good. So Chris, shout out to you. Met him and his lovely girlfriend. Got a chance to talk to them for a little bit. But the good folks at Hammerheads, that was a fun spot yesterday.
Good seafood?
Oh, yeah. Really good seafood. They had a crawfish saute. Crawfish in like a cheesy some kind of mix. Got some garlic bread and dipped that down in there.
Nice.
Harry Douglas would not be proud of me for eating that, but it was wonderful.
You got to do you, man. So what's the over-under on short-timer syndrome for me?
Wednesday that's already passed.
What are you talking about? I've been locked in all week.
Yeah, allegedly.
I've got NBA TV late night tonight, so it's going to be a long one. No complaints, but I am psyched. I'm here for the grind, and then I depart, and I tap out, and don't even call me, okay, mm-hmm. for 9 days. I'm just kidding. You guys can text me, and you can bust you-know-whats and the whole thing. But I am out for 9 days, including 2 weekends on either side, 5 days off next week. I am very, very excited. But it's not about me. It's about my boys dropping in town here. Tomorrow, 14-year-old Ty, 12-year-old
nice.
Jalen. I'm going to be throwing them open for the next 9 days. I'm going to be shagging rebounds in the gym. It's going to be great.
What do I have right here?
Get a little time off request
uh-huh.
there.
Yeah, I'm
from Intercom.
Yeah, I got to take this into Double X's office because Sean said, well, it's a little bit far out. And I said, look, Sean, I'm about to book a vacation. I want to make sure I can get approved because Terry has already given us the don't come to me that you've already booked a vacation and it hasn't been approved yet. So I'm about to book a vacation to the west coast of Mexico this year. We're not going to Cancun. We're going to go to Puerto Vallarta. On the, you know, the Mike Conti kind of gave me that's where you want to go. It's a little more laid back. So we got a week vacation coming up at the end of July, right before football season. So I'll come back tanned and ready to roll.
Do you want to see some ripples of drama?
What's that?
So Charity turns 40 this year.
Uh-huh.
The lovely and talented Charity, my beloved wife, turns 40.
Mm-hmm.
And she has arranged a vacation in Guatemala.
Okay.
In late August.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you will not be seeing me in late August. And we need to vet the details and figure all that out.
Oh, late August is fine. This is late July.
No, exactly. And late August is right after Flowery Branch training camp,
yeah.
Right before the start of the season. We have strategically found the time, but she's already gone. And, I mean, she's already, talked to her mom, her dad, friends, and, like, her whole world is descending on Guatemala in late August. So
Mark and Paul can attest to this. You got a little more stroke around here than I do.
I don't know about all that.
So you can walk in and say the wife has booked it, and they'll be like, we're good. We love Rick Campbell. I walk in there, well, you know, you're wearing a Miami shirt again, and I've told you about that, and your workstation's a little junky, so we're going to have to think about giving you those
days off.
What's
a workstation?
Yeah, that's
junky or janky?
Janky, both.
So, Emma, were you starting the show with the music that won, the at Rick and John 929 Twitter poll? So what do we got? We got Atlanta music?
Yes, sir. This
nice.
One is a runaway. Mm-hmm. Started early at Rick and John 929 every Thursday. We put up the poll, the Vision Computer Twitter poll. Hold time less than 15 seconds for tech support. Yesterday, the question was, pick our music for Friday's show. Is it going to be the band list?
Which is what all three of us voted for, by the way.
Maybe, or I may have created a couple of fake.
Y'all are alive to me.
Vote twice.
See what I did there?
Y'all are alive to me. To refresh people, the band list includes Dave Matthews, Bon Jovi.
Correct.
And these are all Rick Kamla bands.
Yes.
Creed.
Yep.
Nickelback.
Yep.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the Beatles. Yep.
So would have been a lot of that today. Representing the ATL and surrounding areas, we got some Athens music thrown in there as well.
Nice.
The Elite Eight of album sales, which mm-hmm. came in dead last at 10%.
I just don't think people understood that, even though you explained it to them.
Why
yesterday.
You got to take a shot at Mark early in the morning?
I think you're right. I said the same thing to Rick earlier. I said, maybe people didn't get it. We'll try it again with the final four. But that was basically the top eight musical artists or groups of all-time album sales. So the Beatles would have been back in that one. People like Garth and Michael Jackson. I think
Led Zeppelin,
yep. Elvis,
the Eagles,
and then finally House Transnistria.
Hey, it didn't finish last.
Yeah, it's gaining traction in our poll.
Actually, no, it dropped traction because last week it was second. It almost won.
But it wasn't last.
This week it was second to last.
Yep, 16% for EDM, 10% for Elite Eight, 24% for the band list. But today's winner, man, people want to keep it local. So,
hey, John, you know what? You know what? This poll is right here. And you know what EDM is in this poll? Mm-hmm. It's our Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
Okay? Because the Braves have been in last place and all this. And guess what? Miami is going to be last place in the National League East, regardless of what the Braves do this year. Okay? So EDM getting out of the cellar. Braves getting out of the cellar. Are you feeling me?
Here's the thing. With EDM, do we now start to treat it where, you know, if it gets the least amount of votes, it's no longer on the poll anymore?
Oh, God, no. One day we are going to make the four choices. House, trance, club, EDM.
Yeah.
It can't lose.
Nobody will vote. It'll just have zero votes.
Or we're going to put like gospel music, polka music.
Oh, gospel will win. It'll win.
Gospel will win, dude. We're in the South.
Country instrumentals or something like that, and then house, trance, and EDM.
Just put banjo picking. Actually, people may pick that. We're in the South.
What am I saying? Banjo and gospel would still be EDM.
Preacher Man, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. It's Friday. I'm happy, all good. Got a baseball game tonight. Headed to the Ville tomorrow. Gonna go see the Eagles in concert.
Nice.
Cool.
Are you really?
Yeah.
How many of them are still alive, bro?
I think all but one.
Is Joe Walsh gonna be there?
I believe so.
Vince Gill, I like Joe Walsh a lot.
Vince Gill's sitting in.
Okay. All right.
That's gonna be kind of cool.
Vince Gill's pretty good, right? I don't know.
Who's Vince Gill?
Some country guy. He's pretty good though, right?
Awesome. He is acceptable fit in. If you're putting him in for the Eagles, he will do just
what do you think's a better fit in? Like John Mayer in the Jerry Garcia role with the Grateful Dead, or who are we talking about? Vince Gill?
Vince Gill with the Eagles.
Be careful answering this question.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's one
of the
same.
I'd call it a push, actually.
Yeah. Okay, all right. We can all agree on that.
Vince Gill is actually probably one of the most
prolific Who's the blonde guy that was the lead singer for Poison?
Brett Michaels?
Yeah, Brett Michaels.
No, who's the Vince? Vince was a lead singer.
Vince Neil.
That Motley Crue.
That's who I was thinking of.
Who was the first front man for Van Halen?
Vince Van Halen.
Stop it. You don't know this?
Is it?
The blonde-haired dude with...
David Lee Roth.
There you go. Boom. Yeah.
Sammy Hagar and then David Lee Roth. I'm sorry.
All the way around,
yeah.
Okay.
Who was the first front man for AC/DC? Really stretching your music knowledge.
A little short guy.
Yeah. His name rhymed with John Bott.
Yeah, no clue.
Okay, Bon Scott. Anyway.
I didn't think
you would know that, but it's like if you go to the far reaches of my hip-hop knowledge, which doesn't span very far, it's kind of a similar deal.
There would have been a better chance I would have guessed Bart Scott than Bon Scott.
By the way, I was thinking yesterday, the perfect dichotomy with me and you musically.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually perfect. There is hardly any intersect or overlap at all. Like you and me, if my musical sphere meets your musical sphere, do they even touch?
No.
It's kind of perfect how different you and I are musically.
Didn't AC/DC have a guy named Angus something?
Angus Young was their guitarist. Brian Johnson was the frontman that took over for Bon Scott.
He was also a good quarterback for Utah for a couple of years.
If memory serves, Bon Scott died by choking on his own vomit. Yeah, that's probably not.
Brian Johnson is no longer the lead singer because he has hearing issues. So that's Axl Rose took over.
So I always thought Brian Johnson's voice would crap out, but you're telling me his ears crapped out first.
Crapped out.
Wow. How about that?
Let's give away some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national bonus code word. The code word is
horse. H-O-R-S-E. This is the right one, Paul. I've got it in the right order, correct? Horse. H-O-R-S-E. Text horse right now to 72881.
Your boy Custer got on his horse and led Loyola to a win last night.
Yeah, Florida State was blocking shots because they have that big horse down low. They have like 8 block shots on Gonzaga last night. 72881. That's your $1,000 national signing bonus contest word. I was going to go a different direction. In the Kentucky Derby, the jockeys ride a horse, H-O-R-S-E.
What the f*** is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
I know that we have good conversations and have continued to have good conversations, and I'm not concerned about it. There's no time frame on it right now. I think the biggest thing for them at one time was probably waiting to see what was going on in the market. Mm-hmm. That's kind of come and gone right now, right? So we'll continue to talk about and how to get it finalized.
Thomas Dimitroff talking about Matt Ryan, the contract. We're going to have some good conversation on that. We've got a poll up on Twitter, all that good stuff. But the Falcons did make a move yesterday. They bring back Derek Shelby, who had been cut a couple of weeks ago for salary cap ramifications. 1-year deal for Shelby. D-Led just tweeted a few minutes ago, the Falcons are still in on Pernell McPhee, potentially. Robert Ayers, though, they're not interested at this time. So there's some moving and some shaking going on the defensive line.
I want Pernell McPhee. Please sign him. He's got edge. He's got nasty. He got into Jay Cutler's face after a pick. Please sign him. Go to my personal Twitter account if you want to see that scene from Monday Night Football. We've been talking about that off and on all week. So here's the deal with Derek Shelby, who they're bringing back. Okay, 2 years with Atlanta, plays 6 games back in 2016, pops his Achilles, comes back, played all 16 games last year, so give him credit for that, actually started 14 games, mm-hmm. and did not have much statistically, had 1 sack and 16 tackles on the year. But I'm happy that Shelby is back because you and I have been pacing the floor and wringing our hands about the lack of depth on the offensive line. And what the Falcons saw something in him a couple of years ago when they plucked him off the free agent market late of the Miami Dolphins. And hopefully he's 2 years removed from the Achilles and he can bring to fruition what the Falcons saw in him, because he wasn't a starter with Miami. They saw him as a developmental under-the-radar guy, and let's bring him here and promote him. So I'm happy that we have Shelby back, and I trust that they did some good talent evaluation on him.
Elsewhere, the NCAA Sweet 16 yesterday, the games in Atlanta. Actually, 3 of the 4 games yesterday were tremendous. The 2 games here were unbelievable.
Yep.
Loyola Chicago, another 11 seed. Moving on to the round of 8. They win the game yesterday. Sister Jean and company, Clayton Custer and company, they win by 1. 3 games in the tournament, they've won by 4 combined points.
That's a great stat. Here's the deal. Nevada, especially with the Martin twins, their athleticism was killing Loyola early in that mm-hmm. game. They were blocking shots. They were getting to the rim and finishing. And then Loyola got their sea legs under them. And the fact that Nevada is down a key player, they only play 6, they ran out of gas, mm-hmm. bro. And then they got the second wind in the second half, came back, took the lead, and then Loyola restores order, and then like last 8 minutes they met on the same page and just duked it out. It was a fantastic basketball game.
Loyola goes 11 for 11 to start the second
13
half.
For 13.
13 for 13. I'm
to
sorry.
Start the second half, and Nevada was still in the game. The Kentucky loss. I've actually got 7 reasons why they lost, okay? But 3 of them are their one-and-done guys.
Yeah.
Diallo turned his ankle, Knox in foul trouble again, and was okay. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, bro, get your handles together. He was so irresponsible in the second half of that game, but it went down to the wire and gave K-State some credit.
Make a free throw, Washington. Washington shot over 20 free throws last night and was terrible. We take a break, we come back. We'll talk more about this, but when we get back, Matt Ryan's contract still not done. Are you mad that it's still not done? We'll talk to you guys next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Boy, I bet you General Manager Thomas Dimitroff is tired of fielding Matt Ryan questions, huh? This has been going on for weeks and weeks. Rick Kamla and John Michaels throwing our midday party. And everybody in town for the NCAA tournament, hi, we are the greatest sports show in America, and you have found it. Now, John, super quick, we're going to talk football here, but I want to gauge interest in the NCAA tournament because I'm getting a vibe that people don't really care. I'm getting a vibe, John. and I put a poll out on my personal Twitter account. How are you watching the tourney? Every play, every game? Casually? Not at all. How do you think the voting's going so far?
Every play, every game,
casually and not at all.
I'd say casually's in the lead.
You are very much correct.
Second would probably be not at all.
Okay, John Michaels. I hope that the callers at 11:40 when we give away $500 mm-hmm. are as on their game as you are right now. 59% say they're watching it casually. 26% say not at all. And this number's dropping, by the way. 15% say every play of every
game. That's it?
That's it, bro. Do you remember a time when you had to watch every play of every game? Well, from the opening weekend to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and Final Four. Every play, every game. And it seemed like America was kind of down with that.
Well, I also remember when it was only on CBS, so you were hoping your game was on and stayed competitive so that it didn't get preempted for a more competitive game. That's what used to happen. They'd do the live looking, hey, here's a live looking at Miami and Eastern Illinois, and Miami's up 17, so we're going to go to a more competitive game. And they would do that. I think that's what this also tells you, and it goes back to a couple things. First and foremost, what do people pay attention to when it comes to the tournament? Their bracket. And when their bracket is no longer important, their interest wanes. The second thing, they pay attention to their team. If their team is in the tournament, they're watching their team. And when their team's eliminated, the tournament's not as important. The final thing is you don't get to know the players. There's kids you look at, and they're already four-fifths out the door ready for the NBA draft. And I think for the casual fan or even the sort of invested fan, losing a chance to know a kid for 2 or 3 years, it's really starting to hurt the product.
I wonder if the parity that has led to all the upsets is also turning people away from college basketball. But go to my personal Twitter account, and you can vote on that poll. Just hop right up on it. Let's talk football.
Hey, now.
You are asking the question, are you mad mm-hmm. that Matt Ryan's contract is not done? So I'm not mad, John, but I'm getting there. I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed. I get it. I do. We've seen this happen before. Other mm-hmm. teams, our team, it makes sense. It's not shocking. But I think that our hands are tied right now. I think that Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn can't get as loosey-goosey as they want right now and maybe take a chance, maybe extend out a little. They can't because they're hamstrung because of these contract negotiations. John, they have a big puzzle. They have a puzzle for 2018, 19, 20, 21. It's
Absolutely.
A huge, gigantic puzzle. How do you complete the puzzle without your biggest piece being in the puzzle? So you have to get this Matt Ryan contract done, then the other dominoes will fall for us and what we're going to do. So I would say I'm annoyed and I'm frustrated, but I'm not mad.
I'm not as mad or annoyed as you are, only because this team doesn't have a ton of holes. Okay, what do we need going into the offseason? We needed another guard, and we've signed one. And no, it wasn't Andrew Norwell. It wasn't Justin Pugh. It wasn't Josh Sitton. It's Brandon Fusco. Not many of us knew who Brandon Fusco was before 2 weeks ago.
I've heard the name.
I've heard it.
He was a Viking, so I've heard his name, you know, going back to when I was a fan of theirs.
But again, how many games did I watch of the 49ers last year? Very few.
Maybe. I watched the Niners at the end of the year when Jimmy G took over. Other than that, I didn't watch the Niners, I'll be honest.
So, okay, Fusco's a guy that comes in and you think he's going to be your starting right guard. So they've checked that box, although not with a sexy name. They've checked it with somebody that we hope can be a little bit better than Chris Chester was a couple of years ago. And Chester was a 2-year starter, so that was fine. We all knew before free agency we were probably going to lose Dontari Poe. And that has a little bit to do with Matt Ryan's contract. But I also think they didn't want to pay $9 million a year with Dontari Poe.
To me, this isn't about Poe. This is about Claiborne.
Okay.
To me, this is about Adrian Claiborne. And I'm with you. $9 million per over 3 years for Dontari Poe. Sorry. Love you. Congrats on the big contract. Enjoy the rest of your life. And hopefully you lose every time you play us. And we sort of always, John, mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong, thought that we were going to wave bye-bye to Poe.
Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't think it was realistic to bring him back.
And the reason
Claiborne at $12 million in 2 years, and by the way, that's the max.
Yeah.
That's with incentives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't know what the base is on that. Maybe we could go to Spotrac and figure it out. That's the situation that has me feeling some kind of way. I don't feel like we should have lost Adrian Claiborne. You've got the Matt Schaub contract to look at. You've got the fact that the Ryan contract isn't done to look at as reasons why we had to say goodbye to him.
So I put up on my Twitter page, my personal Twitter page, you can follow the station at 92.9 The Game, and you can follow the show at Rick and John 929. My personal page is linked to that. It's pretty simple. Are you upset Matt Ryan's contract isn't done? One choice, nope, take your time. Second choice, yes, it's hogging cap space. Third, going to the Super Bowl anyways. So it doesn't really matter.
How many are saying going to the Super Bowl anyway?
17%.
All right.
Nope, take your nope, take your time is 37%. And yep, it's hogging cap space, 46%.
Because it is.
Here's the thing, and I'll ask you this, and like I said, I understand the logistics of the Matt Ryan contract. I'd like to see it done. What differently outside of Adrian Claiborne do you feel this team would have done if Matt Ryan saved you? And the rough estimate that we've got is you're going to have about $10 million more in cap space. What else do you think they would have done?
I mean, you could have maybe gotten more aggressive with a tight end. What did Jimmy Graham
he
get?
He got $10
per?
Per.
He did get $10
million
per?
I think it was $10 million per.
Wasn't it 30 over 3 from Green Bay?
That sounds right.
So to me, dude, look, and that is in the price range. That's the price range me and John thought that Jimmy Graham would be. It's a little too rich. It's just a little too rich, especially with the
Years, $30 million.
Especially with the crop of tight ends coming in this draft. Again, I'd rather have Jimmy Graham 2.0, Mike Gesicki of Penn State, and let's giddy up for the next 10 years. He is a 50 to 80 catch. Screw that. Hooper's a 50 catch guy. He's a 65 to 85 catch guy. I'm telling you, Gesicki, I'm telling you, he's a 65 to 85 catch guy. He's a Travis Kelce type of tight end.
I hope so.
And all you see is Kelce in the end zone, dancing and spiking on people. I want Gesicki. I want him bad.
And you know what? You can still get him. And Matt Ryan's contract has nothing to do with Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, and so, John, let's say we had a bunch of cap money to play with, okay? Let's just say that money wasn't an object this offseason. Do you think that our Falcons would have gone 30 over 3 for Jimmy Graham or gone with whatever that Trey Burton contract was in Chicago? Or do you think they would have said, I want Gesicki or Mark Andrews or Hayden Hurst or one of these stud tight ends in the draft?
Yeah, I don't think just reading between the lines they were going to go pay big money for a tight end.
I agree.
I think they are, I hate to say satisfied, but somewhat satisfied slash intrigued with the upside of Austin Hooper.
I think I agree with you, and I don't share that opinion, but I agree with you. I still think there is enthusiasm and optimism in the organization for him. But, John, I don't think that, because they know they got to pay Neal and Debo and all these guys. I don't think they wanted a big ticket item at tight end. And I think they've done the talent evaluation and they've realized, like, you're an idiot if you don't realize that there are 5 to 6 cherry tight ends in this draft. You just haven't been watching football. And guess what? Our guys have been watching football, so they do know that.
I think,
and they told us, John, that we asked them about an upgraded tight end. They said, yes, we're going to upgrade the tight end position. When we talked to TD and DQ, and guess what? That's not Logan Paulson.
No.
That's not the upgrade they were talking about. That's a cheaper blocking replacement for Toy Lolo. The upgrade they were talking about is going to come through the draft.
And I think the only thing, go back to your question about if money wasn't an issue, maybe they spend bigger money. If money wasn't an issue, maybe they go after Andrew Norwell. But at $13.3 million for a guard, that's one that he better be an all-pro, or else you're going to look 2 years from now and go, oh, we're paying $13.3 million for a guard.
Sorry, he better come here and be in the Ring of Honor.
Yes.
He better go down as one of the great guards in franchise history for that kind of money.
Let's take a call or two, 404-741-0929. You guys can text that. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well. Are you mad that the Matt Ryan contract's not done yet? Let's go to James in Covington to lead us off on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. James, how you doing?
Good, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually going to go a different route. I'm not mad. I'm worried, and there's two reasons for that. Even if you just want to call them all Band-Aids, I'm sitting here seeing all the other teams in the NFC South doing things. They're bringing in pieces. And the other reason I'm worried is I feel like this puts a lot of pressure on TD and Dan Quinn for the draft, whereas we had money for free agency. Maybe there wouldn't have been that pressure to knock this draft out of the ballpark. That's my take.
James, well, appreciate it.
There's all kinds of pressure on this draft. Like, this is the second most pressure-packed draft since Arthur Blank said, was it 3 or 4 starters?
I need 3 starters.
He says, I need, and he got them, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Arthur, go ahead and put that out there in the universe again, please.
I think he got 4 because he got Keanu Neal, he got Deion Jones, he got Devondre Campbell, and Brian Poole was an undrafted free agent. He was also a starter. Wasn't Austin
3.5.
Wasn't Austin Hooper in that draft, too?
I think he was.
Yeah, so that's, they got a lot of starters.
We need that draft again, John.
We do.
And James, was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
James, I'm with you. We've been saying it. This draft is everything. When you essentially power down in free agency and make, you know, little moves, under-the-radar moves, that means all your chips are in the middle of the table on the draft. So, but guess what, dude? Over the last couple of years, they have proven to be trustworthy in the draft. Mm-hmm. And obviously, 2 years ago was better than last year, but they need to get back to really killing it in the draft.
You know who's going to kill it? It's going to be Mark Owens at 92.9 The Game and Carriage Kia in Woodstock this Saturday, 10 to noon, for a meet and greet with Atlanta baseball alumni Terry Pendleton and Ron Gant. Mark Owens will actually dress as Phil the Bucket, I believe, and he's going to run around and try to race a Stinger. Well, he's out there at Carriage Kia in Woodstock.
You're the best agent I've ever had. Keep going. You're doing great.
Hey, you know what you can do? You stop by. You got a chance to win some cool prizes, including an autographed Kent Bazemore jersey, a four-pack of tickets to see the Hawks take on the Sixers, plus WWE Raw tickets.
You're doing so good. I'm giving you a gift card to Bennigan's.
Nice.
Best agent I've ever had.
Right. Dude, if you're this good of an agent, could you please strong-arm Tom Condon into getting this damn deal done?
Condon don't want no parts of me. Hey, we take a break. We come back. It's our slice of life. You know what we do on Friday. Ask us something about anything with Rick and John middays, hashtag trademark. That's coming up next. You can ask us. We'll answer it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rick and John, baby. And Shane Company brings you the slice of life. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. Ask us something about nothing about extraordinary stuff in a minute. Two shout-outs real quick. Antoine Walker. He will be coming up at the top of the hour. And then we have Steve Merrill of Covers.com at 11:20. So I reached out to Twan, and he's a former Wildcat, of course, and they lost last night. So I reached out to him. I said, good morning, Twan. Sorry about last night, bro. Are you still good for 11 a.m. Eastern on our radio show? If not, I understand. Just let me know. Thanks. He said, LOL, just call me. So Antoine Walker confirmed for 11 o'clock.
You know why? Because now he can just slide over and be a Loyola Chicago fan because he played in Chicago.
Good point.
And he's from Chicago, is he not?
And he totally reps Chicago. Mm-hmm. So that's a very good point by you. And one more shout out, John. You know who Candace Parker is, right?
Yeah.
One of the great female basketball players.
Still waiting for you to get her in studio.
Ever. And I, you know what? So I've been kind of buddying up with her a little bit. And
I don't blame you.
I was rocking the Keyshawn Johnson jersey the other day. So she saw that. And so we started talking football. And she's a big Bears fan. She's like, who's our quarterback? I was explaining that you traded up for the wrong QB. You should have traded up for Deshaun Watson, and you trade up for Mitch Trubisky.
Heck, you didn't even have to trade up. You could have just sat and got Deshaun Watson.
Anyway, I'll just condense it. It was super cool talking football and talking just overall hoops with Candace Parker. She's an amazing lady, an amazing basketball player. And, John, it is one of the really cherished parts of this gig and that gig at NBA TV is the fact that I'm rubbing elbows with Kevin McHale and Isaiah Thomas and Charles Barkley and Shaq and Candace Parker. Greg Marshall, the coach of Wichita State, was there last night. It's just such a blessing. Thank you, God.
All right, so you guys can ask us something about anything. You ask the question, we answer the question, hashtag trademark, because it's our intellectual property only. We were the first ones to come up with it. You guys can also call 404-741-0929. All right, a couple of them already coming in. We're going to start with this question. All right, Rick, this goes around the room. Cam Newton or Mike Vick? Cam Newton or Mike Vick?
Wow, that's a great question.
It's easy
man.
For me. It's Mike Vick.
I'm going Cam Newton on this one. He's accomplished more. Made a Super Bowl, won an MVP. I'm not saying he's a better athlete. He's a better quarterback than Mike Vick.
I take Mike Vick. That the buzz in this city when Mike Vick was drafted and what the Mike Vick experience was all about, I take Mike Vick in a heartbeat.
I'm still angry at what Cam Newton and Nick Fairley did to Aaron Murray. When Georgia played Auburn, so I'm taking Mike Vick.
Preacher man, Cam Newton or Mike Vick?
I'm going to take Mike Vick.
All right. Here's another one. Rick, you claim to be 100% Falcon fan since divorcing the Viking, but who's your side chick? Who you secretly cheer for in football?
Good. My fantasy teams. Let me think about that first. Yeah, let me come back to that. Let me look at the standings, and I'll tell you maybe my side chick. Let me get back.
I mean, the Dolphins are still my side chick, but that's the chick you only call like once every 16 months.
So isn't that kind of telling that I didn't just like, yeah, it's the Vikings. I didn't say that because they're not my side chick. I'm done with them.
Maybe.
They're ugly to me now.
All right, this one for around the room. Hey, guys, can you really learn karate by painting the house, sanding the floor, and washing the car like Daniel's son did?
Can you really what?
Learn karate by painting the house, sanding the floor, washing the car.
I don't believe credit with the wife for getting stuff done off the honey
list. You
do.
I'll tell you, if I wash the car and sand the deck, oh, man, it'll be go time in my household. Mark, can you learn karate that way?
Did you see that they've officially released the trailer for Cobra Kai?
Yes.
The new Karate Kid remake on Netflix?
All right, yeah. I got my side chick in the NFL.
Okay.
Houston Texans.
Okay.
Tell them why, John.
Deshaun Watson.
Bingo. That's my side chick.
Preacher man, can you learn karate that way?
Sure, why not?
Here's another one. Jay in the truck asked this question. My wife hates when I go to work commando. How about yours?
I'm commando right now. I'm wearing basketball pants.
All right. Yep.
You know, some Nike, what do you call these? Basketball pants?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Whatever they're called.
I'm now in the Kia Studios,
I'm like,
Mark.
Here's the problem with that, Mark. I know I'm right now about an eighth of an inch of fabric away from seeing way too much of Rick. Like 1/8 of an inch of fabric, a tear in the wrong spot.
So don't de-pants me.
And the danglers are going to be out there for everybody to see.
Don't de-pants me. All right? If I get de-pants, you're going to see more of me than you want.
I mean, you've killed the alarm. You've killed it.
All right, here's a couple other ones coming in here. Have you guys seen Get Out, and what are your thoughts? That's coming from Dylan.
Loved it. I don't like horror movies with a bunch of gore anymore. I like horror movies that mess with your mind, mm-hmm. and this was a mind boink. I loved it.
Very good movie, although I caught on to what was going on pretty quickly. I didn't know it was a horror movie until about a third of the way through. I thought it was supposed to be like a comedy of some sort. When I started watching, I go, wow, that's different.
The thing with the lady and the spoon and the teacup, and it was a dope movie, man. I liked it a lot.
Mark Owens, did you see Get Out?
Yeah, it was overhyped. The problem was it got built up too much. It's like I'm afraid to see Black Panther now because
that's very good.
People have
you haven't seen Black Panther yet?
I don't go to the movies. I don't go to the movies anymore because, A, it's too expensive. Here we go.
Rick, I'm looking at him as if I saw Black Panther opening weekend. It only took me like a month to see it.
I'm not going to pay $25 to sit there and listen to somebody have a phone conversation behind me.
It was really good. Preacher Man.
I'm sure it's great, but it's been hyped up so much, I need to let some of the buzz die down. That's what Get Out was. Get Out was so overhyped that I expected more than it really was. Still a good movie, overhyped.
Preacher Man, did you see Get Out?
No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
It's pretty good.
I don't care.
Do you plan on seeing it?
No.
All right.
So we can
spoil the whole thing for you? A guy has his head opened and you see brain at the end of the movie.
I mean, I know the premise of the movie. I got that much, but I've just never seen it.
Bruce Willis is actually dead the entire time.
Yeah. Who's better, Julio Jones or Michael Irvin?
Give me the playmaker. Give me the playmaker for the win.
You know that's where I was going.
How many rings you got?
Three. Yeah, he's got three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would take Michael Irvin.
Who's more talented?
Julio.
I'll still give it to Irvin.
I
don't remember Michael Irvin beating up balls.
Give me the playmaker.
I'm serious.
Mark Owens, playmaker or Julio?
Got to go playmaker, it hurts.
Wow.
You got to.
Preacher Man, Julio or the playmaker?
Playmaker.
Wow.
Michael Irvin,
I am shocked.
Michael Irvin is an all-time great. Julio Jones is not. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's not an all-time great. Michael Irvin was that dude, man.
Get a couple of rings, Julio.
Oh, here's one for me.
I'll just take one.
Here's one for me. Who's better, the 85 Bears or the 2001 Miami Hurricanes? Canes by 17. Dorsey would pick that crappy 4-6 defense apart.
The most dominant team I've seen in the NFL is the 85 Bears. The most dominant team. They blew you out every time. And while they were blowing you out, John, they humiliated you and embarrassed you and literally beat you to a bloody pulp.
Mm-hmm.
The 85 Bears, I haven't seen another team like that. And they were okay offensively. I mean, they had Willie Gault and Peyton, and you had
Jim McMahon.
Of course, Jim McMahon. I'm thinking of the back behind Peyton. Who was the other back they had?
Matt Sui.
Matt Sui used to be a pretty good player. So that's I'd say 85 Bears.
How about this one? If the radio station had a Madden tournament, who would win?
I would lose.
I don't know.
I'd be in last place.
Am I the only one that plays Madden here? And I don't play very often.
I dabble, but I would not consider myself a contender.
Are we allowed to answer who's your favorite adult star?
Sensual Jane.
Who?
Sensual Jane.
Okay.
Look her up.
I'm going to leave this one alone.
I don't have one because back
early
in the,
research material.
Because back in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. when all we had was VHS tapes, now you've got the internet and everybody's an adult star.
Yeah, but they're not all as hot as Sensual Jane.
Yeah, but when was the last time you actually sat down and watched an adult film?
All right.
Next question.
Question. How about this one? Better group, Outkast or the Wu-Tang Clan?
Whoa, nobody else is swinging on that? People are waiting in their cars right now. Okay, Camila gave me a good one. What about you three knuckleheads?
Amber Lynn and Ginger Lynn and Christy Canyon. Those were the back in the day.
Okay.
But when was the last time you sat down and watched an adult
movie? But, it could just be – it doesn't have to be Okay.
Harley, okay, here you go.
Movie, you
Harley Dean
scene.
Or a Bella
exactly.
Anderson.
It's not
done.
About the movie. It's about the scene. Exactly, Preacher Man. Thank you.
I said I know nothing about that, though.
What's that? What, did you answer?
Yeah.
Who'd you say?
A Bella Anderson or Harley Dean.
There you go. Okay, you're welcome, populace of Atlanta. You're welcome.
Who's better, Outkast or Wu-Tang Clan?
Outkast.
Outkast.
Best Outkast. Unanimous Outkast. Oh,
although wow. Early Wu-Tang Clan stuff was great.
Not
how about
mad
this
at him.
One? Andre 3000 or Big Boy? The two members of Outkast.
I'm going to go Andre 3000.
Yeah, I'm going to go Andre. Although I love Big Boy as well, but I'll go Andre 3000.
Andre. I'm going to go Big Boy.
There you go.
Nice. Daring to be different.
And now we have people tweeting
more.
In.
Two more.
We got two more who we can do. Let's see here. Do you guys watch anime?
I don't even know what that is.
Cartoons. Like Japanese cartoons.
My kids do. I don't.
Yeah. My buddy Carnell and Rashawn and Jamal, they all watch that. I said, dude, you guys are grown men. Why are you watching anime?
Don't tell that to you.
Is that A-N-I-M-A?
E is the last.
A-N-I-M-A.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There's an E. Maybe it's like panned. Tool. P-A-N-D.
Tool has an amazing album that's spelled kind of like that. I think it's a different word, though.
Here we go. Real quick. Top three March Madness championship teams. What are your favorite champ? 1990 UNLV for me. 1984 Georgetown. Oh, and give me 82 North Carolina.
I'll just throw Nova from 85 in there. That team was awesome.
I hated that team. Beat Georgetown.
I'm going to say Kentucky 2012 because...
Oh, yeah. It was a monster.
They were one of the only ones that was seeded number one to win it all. Remember that?
Anthony Davis, John and I could have coached that team to a championship that year.
We also
that team was ridiculous.
We also could have coached the 2001 Canes to a national title. Hey, we come back. This guy, he shot threes. He's won NBA championships, and Kentucky lost last night. But we talk to Antoine Walker next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jay in the truck asked this question. My wife hates when I go to work commando. How about yours?
I'm commando right now. I'm commando right now. I'm commando right now. I'm commando right now.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I love it, man. You know what? Shout out to a very talented human being named Mark Owens, man. We love you, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. The Midday Show with Rick and John. We are back at IKEA Studios and tears rolling down our cheeks from the laughter. And now we look, man, I'm excited to have this guy on right now. This is my guy. This is Antoine Walker, NBA champion, longtime NBA three-point assassin, and obviously a Kentucky Wildcat. And Antoine, we bring you in here to the midday party with Rick and John, and I just say sorry, bro. I thought you guys were going to win last night, and you didn't get it done. But good morning, Antoine.
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Yeah, we came up a little short last night. Couple plays, some bad free throw shooting. Couple questionable decisions down the stretch. I felt like we should have called a timeout there after they scored the bucket to go up two. But, you know, Cal's been doing it a long time, so he knows what he's doing over there on the sideline. But, yes, a tough loss because the path was set up for us to make it to the Final Four, and that's not to take anything away from Kansas State or Loyola, Nevada, those teams there. But when you get Virginia to lose how good they were and you get Arizona – who was a four seed, you got a couple of top teams to lose. You know, you just felt like you had a clear path to win, to get to the Final Four.
I thought Rick was going to say he was sorry for you hearing that he's commando in the studios today because he dropped that on us, Antoine, and I don't know how to react, and I'm only like 4 feet away from him.
Yeah, but you got to understand, Rick wants to be in charge. I mean, that's something that he loves to do.
What does that mean, Antoine? You got to flesh that one out a little bit.
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, he's usually hosting. He's usually taking control, running the show, setting everybody up. So you can understand that a little bit, right?
Yeah. So in other words, I'm doing me, and I don't care if y'all don't like it. So Antoine, and by the way, watch Antoine Walker on SEC Network. He did an awesome job all year, and especially in the SEC tournament, Antoine. I really enjoyed your coverage.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. So going back to last night, a couple of things that I thought were crucial, and I just want to complain for a brief second and have you react. It seemed like the only offense that Kentucky had in the second half was dumping it down to Washington, double team fouled, go to the line. You know, you didn't see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander driving and sort of, you know, just having that yo-yo and taking it to the hoop as he has. Going back to the SEC tournament, Knox was in foul trouble again, which was a problem, especially in that first half. And then Diallo with the turned ankle. But most of all, Antoine, I thought Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's irresponsibility and loose handle with the ball in the second half was a critical issue. Which one of those you want to swing on?
Well, let me. I could touch on a couple of them. Let me first start. It was a poorly officiated game. It was 51 fouls called. You can't make that many fouls in a Sweet 16 game. You got to let these players dictate the game. The referees had way too much control over that. For Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, unbelievable season. He's been on an unbelievable roll. Kentucky had won 9 out of 10 coming into the game. So they were on a natural high. They were playing great, and he was leading the charge. I did feel like he held on to it. He turned it over uncharacteristic of him a couple times coming off the pick and roll trying. And the problem, it seemed like last night, and not to take anything away from Kansas State, it seemed like Kentucky was looking for the perfect shot instead of just playing free-flowing basketball. And you're going to take some bad shots sometimes when you're playing basketball. But I think they were trying to get the perfect shot every time down, and that hurts you. And that's why you see some of those unforced turnovers that they had. But the biggest thing was that Kansas State converted, you know, 24 points on Kentucky's 15 turnovers. So that was huge there, too, to be able to get out of transition and get some easy buckets. Kentucky doesn't run a lot of sets. If you watch them play throughout the season, I don't know how much, John, you watch them play. But they don't run a lot of sets. They run pretty much a floppy set and run a few things for Kevin Knox off some screens. But everything else is basically off Alexander penetrating, coming off pick and roll, getting guys shots. They saw a mismatch, obviously, with the foul trouble last night, and they went to P.J. Washington. And no offense, I thought P.J. started to play great. But he was 8 for 20 from the free throw line. So you missed 12 free throws. You get to the line 20 times. That you put a question mark on that. Is that the reason why you lost? But Kentucky was not a great three-point shooting team all year long. I talked about this all season long, that it could come back to backfire on them. I think they made like 4 threes a game, which was one of the lowest in the country. But they go 3 for 12 last night from the free throw line. I mean, three-point line. And it's tough in college basketball to win when you're not able to obviously extend the leads with the three-point shot, get back in games with the three-point shot. And you saw the last play of the game. It's just they did not look good. I didn't know who he was going to be able to go to even to get a three-point shot off because they struggled so much shooting the three. So Kentucky had their own issues. They were very talented. They were good. They were athletic. It just took them a while to get it together, but they were playing in a natural high. They had 1 9 out of 10. I'm in shock that they lost. I thought this was going to be an easy path. I'm not going to say that I'm happy with the loss. I thought this was a year we were going to the Final Four. And like I said, it's not to take anything away from Kansas State, Nevada, Loyola, Chicago, but talent-wise and the way Kentucky was playing, you could not tell me that we were not going to the Final Four.
Antoine Walker with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Speaking of Loyola Chicago, you're a native to Chicago, Illinois. The story has captivated all of us here in Atlanta and everywhere else. Do you have a little bit of pride that your city's got a school going to the Elite Eight right now?
To be honest with you, into the tournament, into these last two games, I didn't watch Loyola Chicago this year. Not for any reason. I just hadn't watched them play this year. So I can't. It's hard for me to jump on that bandwagon. Obviously, I'm a Chicago until the day I die, so obviously I'm going to support and root for them. But I don't know much about the team. I've watched them the last two games. I know they moved the basketball really well. They share it. They got a group of men that believe that they can win, and they've won 3 games by a total of 4 points. So I know they got a lot of heart, and they're going to be there at the end. They're going to fight you tooth and nail. But I don't know much about them, but I got full support from me, being that they're from Chicago. I know that area very well. I know the school. One of my good friends, Emmanuel Dildy, was the assistant coach there 2 years ago. I followed him a little bit more 2 years ago. But I haven't been following them much. It's an incredible story when you think about it. When you go up to Loyola, it's an academic school. It's a very tough school to get into. It's more like an Ivy League school. And to be able to put together a team like they've done this year and to get the whole city behind has been great. We haven't been able to cheer for those city schools like Loyola Chicago, UIC, DePaul in a long time. So it's great to be able to get behind the Loyola Ramblers.
Antoine, this is not a new opinion for me or anybody else. Antoine Walker joining Rick and John on the WadeFord.com hotline because Michigan's been rolling for a while, 11, 12 straight wins or whatever. They won the Big 10 tournament. I watched all of their games in that tournament. And they're rolling, dude. They scored 99 points last night, and they buzzsawed a team that took out the Tar Heels. And as I watched that game last night and track it back to all the games I've watched during the year, I think this team is going to meet Villanova in the championship game. What are your thoughts on that?
I had Duke playing Michigan. I know Kentucky road was too tough. I just thought they, if everything would have stayed according to seasons, I thought they would have had too many tough games to get there. So I think I had Duke and Michigan. So I'm right there with you, Rick. I did have Michigan going very far. I did like them. And I think people forgot how good Michigan was because their conference tournament was like a week before everybody else's conference tournament. So you didn't hear about Michigan for like 11 days, almost 2 weeks. And I think people forgot how good they were. But I like Duke. I think Duke has the most talent. I like the fact that Coach K is playing to his strength. He's playing zone, keeping those big guys out of foul trouble. So I like Duke. I did have Michigan in the Final Four.
Antoine, one of the upsets last night as well, Florida State, a 9 seed, taking out Gonzaga. Gonzaga just got overly worried about getting their shot blocked. Florida State had 8 or 9 a night ago. Do you think the Seminoles have a chance against Michigan?
Without question. That guard play is terrific. They play hard. I think they're riding the wave right now. I think if you look at how they're playing, they play aggressive. They take the fight to you. So Michigan has to be ready for that. To be ready to handle this fight. I love what Leonard Hamilton is doing over there with that group. They play, like I said, they play hard, and they're shocking the world. I think they got just as good a backcourt as anybody in the country. Their guard play has been terrific throughout this tournament. So people got to understand that Florida State is serious, they're for real, and it's going to be a great game. Michigan's going to have to be able to shoot the basketball. Michigan was 14 for 24 from the three-point line last night. I don't know if they can duplicate that again, but they're gonna need that type of effort if they got any chance of beating Florida State.
Antoine Walker joining us here, one of the great basketball analysts in America. Check him out on SEC Network and ESPN as well. Villanova and West Virginia tonight. Ooh la la. TBS 727. Who you got?
Villanova. I just think if you watch them all season long, Villanova's ability to shoot the three-point shot is just terrific. They shoot it from 6 different spots. I mean, like, I think I saw a stat where, like, 47% of their offense is three-point shots. So, I mean, they can get you in so many variety of ways. I mean, I love Rick Brunson and Bridges. I think those guys are going to make it at the next level. Wichita State, I mean, it's not Wichita State. They play West Virginia. West Virginia, I watched them play all season long. West Virginia goes through long stretches without scoring the basketball. I love Javon Carter. I think he's one of the great college players of all time. But they go through stretches in games where they cannot score the basketball. So I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up with the high-powered offense of Villanova, but I like Villanova.
Antoine, we really appreciate the breakdown
you,
on everything, and love to have you back on soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'd love to come on again.
All right, thanks, Antoine.
All right.
Antoine Walker, our guest.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
glow. G-L-O-W. I was in the tanning salon, so I have a nice glow right now. But text glow to 72881. Again, glow to 72881. That's your code word for $1,000.
When you ride commando, you have a different glow about you. What?
All right, Glow was one of my favorite shows back in the 80s. That was the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. He said commando.
You fart knocker.
Now, I like the fact that, again, Glow to 72881. It's our code word for the $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest. I like the fact that you carried out Jersey Week week.
Yeah. I forgot Monday, but I remembered the rest of the week.
The good thing is we didn't get Nipplegate because you have an undershirt on, so there's nothing poking through one of your jerseys.
I thought you were talking about the other day at the auto show at the Georgia World Congress Center in the icy lobby there. Yeah. That was
frosty.
A little, I mean, it wasn't frigid, but it was a little bit of a cool broadcast. Okay, so how about Antoine Walker telling us that he picked Michigan to the Final Four? I'm impressed. And he's got Duke winning it all. And this is a Kentucky guy, right? Kentucky and Duke got a little bit of a rivalry going, so that's pretty telling that Twan picked Duke.
Taking Loyola Chicago to win the whole thing.
Not mad at you. Anything's possible at this
point. I don't
point.
Even know at this point. We take a break. We come back. Steve Merrill, covers.com. We'll break down the rest of the tournament and all that good stuff next on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
All right, Atlanta Music won our musical poll. And so you get a little REM. Yeah, they are in Atlanta/Georgia band, Rick Kamla and John Michaels. And actually, right now my alias is Ricardo Gamendo. As we bring you back to the Kia Studios here, we have Steve Merrill of covers.com, otherwaitfor.com hotline. So, Steve, welcome to our party, bro. Okay, first of all, I always love diving into your brain and into your business. Okay, how were your picks last night? Did you have a good night?
Strongest college. I actually had the two strongest college plays I've released this season, and it was Michigan and Kansas State. So, yeah, I really liked those two games last night. It worked out pretty well, obviously.
No doubt about it, man. And Antoine Walker just told us in the previous segment that he has Duke beating Michigan in the final game. Like, if you project out, like, is Duke your pick to win it? I'm picking Villanova to win it all. Who's your pick to win it all right now? And we'll talk about some of these other games specifically.
Yeah, coming into the tournament, I thought Villanova and Duke were the second and third best teams. Duke, as a two seed, actually has the third best team overall in the tournament, still ahead of Kansas. The odds to win that region when the tournament began was Duke, and it's still Duke slightly over Kansas in the betting odds. And Villanova, obviously, is a favorite still in the East. So I do think that semifinal winner, especially with all the top seeds being bumped out on the other side of the bracket, I really do think it's going to come down to Villanova-Duke in the semifinals, and that basically will be the national title game.
Steve, we have an 11, a 9, a 9, and a 3, basically on the left side of the bracket. Have you ever seen anything this crazy?
No, you know, we talked about all the parity, so we all knew that there could be a lot of – there really wasn't a dominant favorite this year. Virginia was the best team during the regular season. We saw how that turned out. But what was really crazy about it was last night was the first time since 1979, since they've done, I think it was 74 or 79 Sweet 16 games. That was the first time on a given Sweet 16 night that there was not a number one play. Not for the whole weekend, just for that night there'd always been a number one. And, of course, we've got two of them tonight with Kansas and Villanova, but neither of them was playing last night. And that just shows you how wide open it's been.
So Steve Merrill of covers.com, please follow him. Please go to his website and subscribe to his service. Did you pick Duke over Nova?
I have Nova over Duke in the original bracket, yeah. But I'll tell you, my sleeper was coming in at 40-1 was West Virginia. So we can't necessarily just pencil Villanova in right now. They've got a tough matchup tonight with West Virginia.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. So I'm curious about Michigan. So you've got Nova beating Duke. Do you have Michigan, like pre-tournament, did you have Michigan in the – okay, so what? Like now, what is your vibe on Michigan?
I'll tell you, I had Houston, and it's not like that was a bad pick. They lost the game at the buzzer last week, and I actually had Houston +3.5 as a best bet for my clients last weekend, and they did win. They covered, of course, because they only lost by one. So how crazy is it that Michigan might go all the way now when, you know, they basically shouldn't have won that game probably. It was a very fortunate win. So that just shows also how tight things are. And look at Loyola, for example, Rick. They've won their three games now by a combined 4 points, and they're now pick 'em on Saturday to advance. Their smallest point spread is the Elite Eight game tomorrow against Kansas State. It's a pick 'em.
Amazing. Yesterday, Rick and I were talking about the Kansas State-Kentucky spread that was 5 or 5.5. And I reference you, Steve, I promise you, because Rick said, 5.5, this one looks like it should be Kentucky. And I said, Steve always warns us, when something looks too good to be true, it normally is. Did you think yesterday that line looked too good to be true?
Covers.com, it was my game of the year, Kansas State. Seriously. And people can go there right now.
Dude, stop. Just stop. You the man. You the freaking man. How did you see that, Steve? None of us saw that.
First of all, it's line value. I mean, when I have a super strong play, there's a lot of things working, and usually it's not only the matchup, but I have to have some line value. I thought the line was a couple points too high. Kentucky obviously is playing good basketball. They weren't the same team that lost 10 games during the regular season. They were a better team than they were early, but they're still a young team. Kansas State, a veteran team. But what I liked about that matchup is that half-court defensive underdog we talked so much about in the tournament, and Kansas State uglied that game up. They shot only 30-some percent from the field and still found a way to win.
Well, I mean, Preacher Man, thank you for bringing Steve Merrill to us many, many years ago. I just want to just amplify this. People, Steve Merrill had, as one of his great college basketball prognostications of the year, K-State over Kentucky last night. That's why he joins the party with Rick and John on a weekly basis. In terms of last night as well, look, I'm not surprised that Florida State beat Gonzaga because I've watched Florida State in this tournament. They're long, they're athletic, they got playmakers, and they're a good team. But to blow out Gonzaga, I didn't see that coming. What was your read on that game?
Yeah, I didn't have a play on that game last night, but I did think Gonzaga would win. My power ratings favored him by 5. The line was 6, so I stayed off that game because I thought the line was too high. But I didn't necessarily see Florida State winning outright because both of those teams played similar styles. In fact, Florida State was the one team last night that won that did not play slow. The problem is Gonzaga doesn't care about playing slow either. So Florida State got a pretty favorable matchup there against the Zags and just outplayed them. But, you know, guys, three-point shooting determines so many of these games. And halfway through that game, Gonzaga was 1-for-10 from three-point range. I'm not sure that was really Florida State's defense. I think a lot of that was just the Zags not hitting shots last night. And what's interesting about the matchup now against Michigan tomorrow on Saturday in the Elite Eight is that Michigan's going to slow things down. Florida State doesn't like that style. But Michigan lives and dies by the three-point shot. So, you know, if the Wolverines are hitting threes, they'll win like they did last night. If they're not, Florida State could continue to advance because the Seminoles don't rely as much on that three-point shot, which is something you like because it's a little more consistent. The problem with Florida State is they don't play as good a defense as a lot of these teams.
Steve Merrill, Covers.com, our guest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One of the games that's seemingly flying under the radar tonight at 7:07, Kansas and Clemson. Clemson, Steve, a team coming into the tournament. I thought they were playing bad basketball, could lose in round number one, and they've been dominant in the first two rounds. How do you see them playing out against Kansas?
This game is very similar to that Kansas State-Kentucky game from a matchup perspective. You've got a young, talented, athletic favorite in Kansas against a more veteran underdog that plays a half-court defensive style like Clemson. Clemson had a favorable matchup against Auburn last week because Auburn likes to push the pace and play more up-tempo. Clemson took them out of their comfort zone from the beginning. Now, keep in mind, Auburn only had one day of prep for that game. That was the second game of the weekend. Kansas does have the advantage of extra preparation time for this being the Friday game. They have almost a full week here. But Clemson, if they can ugly this up, slow it down to a half court like Kansas State did last night, this is a very similar situation. So Clemson's a live dog here at +5. I think Kansas, the more talented team, the better offensive team, but Clemson holds the defensive edge.
Interesting. We're getting smarter here with Steve Merrill of Covers.com. If you like investment opportunities in the world of sports, take notes, listen up. And if you're just joining us, this interview will be available on iTunes and at 929thegame.com. So I'm looking at the Duke-Syracuse number. And, Steve, I know that you think Duke is going to win this game, but do you think they're going to cover the number? It looks a little large to me at 11.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think it is large if you look at recent results. These teams played exactly a month ago on February 24th at Duke. That line was 13.5. You know, Duke's home court's worth at least 4 to 5 points, so that's saying a neutral court line would have been around 9. Now the line is 11 on a neutral court. So I think you can make an argument it is a couple points high, especially since Syracuse is playing good basketball right now. 3 straight underdog wins here in the tournament so far. I do think that run ends tonight, but the question doesn't become do they win the game. Can they stay within the 11 points? They lost 60-44 at Duke a month ago, a very low-scoring game. The over-under was around 144. It's around 133 now, so this is almost 10 points lower. And Duke is playing better now with their zone defense. Syracuse, of course, always plays a zone defense. So I think if it's a low-scoring, you know, ugly, slow-down game, that gives Syracuse a chance to keep it close. I'm just not sure they can pull the upset, though. Their offense is by far the worst in the tournament of all the teams remaining, and Duke is very efficient at both ends of the court.
Purdue dealing with some injuries, but potential to have their team back in full tonight. Texas Tech, the opposition. Neither team did I think that they were going to get this far. They both have played really well. How do you think this plays out tonight?
Yeah, Purdue, Isaac Haas, the center, he missed the game last weekend with the elbow injury. He's listed as doubtful tonight. Really unfortunate injury. They were up by double digits late against Cal State Fullerton in the first round. He fractured his elbow really kind of in garbage time. And they still have a lot of size down low, but they're a little bit weaker without him. But I do think the line has been affected a bit too much because of that. Purdue only about a 1.5 to 2 point favorite now. I think that line probably should be a couple points higher, even without Haas playing. Purdue, a very good offensive team, second most efficient offense in the country after Villanova. Defense, not quite as much so, and I do think that's a situation here where they could have a little bit of trouble with Texas Tech, because Texas Tech is one of the top 4 defenses in the country right now efficiency-wise. So you've got Purdue, the better offense, Texas Tech, the better defense, and that's why we see a close number here. But all said, all things equal, I think Purdue's a better team in the advance.
Watch this. We're talking college basketball. And I'm going to pull a fast one on SteveMerrillofCovers.com. What's your top play in the NBA tonight?
Top play in the NBA tonight? Well, I wish I had the Hornets last night because they had the biggest win in franchise history, right? It's funny how that stuff happens when there's like Sweet 16 games going on and then an NBA team just goes off all of a sudden and has a huge night. But one thing about the NBA this time of year is I'm starting to get back in the flow here. You got to be very careful those 3 weeks after the All-Star break. I'm sure you see that, Rick. You get some crazy results right before and after the All-Star break. This time of year, though, things start to come into form. I like the over last night of that Hawks-Kings game that did not come through. They only totaled 195. The total was 212. They're at Golden State tonight in the late game. 221 might seem like a big number, but I think both teams put up some points. I'm waiting for that Atlanta offense to start to break out.
All right, I got to talk about the Elite Eight game here in Atlanta. Loyola, Chicago, and Kansas State. Yeah, nobody drew that up, Steve. Who wins and goes to the Final Four out of Atlanta?
Well, once again, we talk about, you know, matchups and styles, and both these teams play that half-court defensive style, and it's done them well so far. Loyola was only a two-point underdog against Miami. They were a five-point dog against Tennessee. They were a one-and-a-half-point underdog against Nevada last night. So these weren't huge upset wins. They were competitive, you know, they priced in the point spread in all those games. And as I mentioned earlier, now the game is pick 'em. In fact, the look-ahead line yesterday before the games were played on all the possible matchups had Kansas State as a 3.5-point favorite. But now the real line is pick 'em, which I thought was quite interesting. So this is a very winnable game for Loyola. Kansas State plays great defense, but I'll tell you, their offense has been struggling. They looked ugly against Baltimore County, did not score well last night against Kentucky. And Dean Wade returned, their leading scorer, but he did not do much. He was limited yesterday. We'll see how much he plays on Saturday. I think this is a very winnable game for Loyola. It's a pick 'em right now. Would not surprise to see them in the Final Four.
Steve, great stuff as always. We look forward to talking to you down the line.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Steve Merrill, Covers.com, our guest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Don't forget, college basketball fans, you can join me, Don Michaels, and Bud Light today at Old Town Tavern and Grill off Lawrenceville, Suwannee Road in Lawrenceville from 5 to 7 to watch the best college basketball games. It's our Ball and Brew Takeover presented by Bud Light, famous among friends. We'll have a bunch of great prize giveaways as well.
Ah, the Black Crowes, more Atlanta music, baby. They won the poll. Thank you for the Crowes, man.
Somebody's going to win $500 next. It's 5 questions, 5 seconds for $500. And thanks to our winner yesterday who said, those questions were too easy. They ain't easy today. 404-741-0929. Caller number 5 will be first up the bat next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Was this one too easy for you today?
It was a little bit easier than the rest, but you know.
5 questions.
5 seconds.
$500.
You shouldn't have said that. You set up your successors to fail. It's the college football cheat sheet, kind of. Brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. Top of the hour, Falcons discussion. Are you mad? Matt Ryan's contract has not been extended yet. And lots of other good stuff coming up, but let's give away $500.
I'll be honest, Rick, when I look at these questions that MO came up with, these are easier than yesterday's. I thought yesterday's the Seton Hall question was really tough.
Today's required the homework.
Mm-hmm.
We've said all week you need to go back, and we gave you the answers. Plus, there have been two times in the past 2.5 hours, no, hour and a half, that we've given you the answers to two of these questions.
Number two is going to trip us up. Yep. I'm predicting right now. Number two is going to trip us up for a while. It is a rather difficult question. But
it
good
is.
Luck.
And you have to listen to the wording of number two. The wording becomes a little
but
bit
first,
tricky.
First, number one.
Let's do that. Let's go right now. Caller number 5 will be on the line at 404-741-0929. You guys can line up. If caller number 5 doesn't get it right, again, it's 5 questions, 5 seconds. Get all 5 right, you win $500. If not, we move on to the next caller. I'm going to take the I'm going to go right now, Rick. It's going to be the fourth caller today. Fourth caller will win it.
Okay.
Number 4, you going over
it's
or under?
Out there. I'm going over.
Okay. That means caller number 5 right now. The pressure is on you to prove us wrong. You ready? 5 questions, 5 seconds for $500.
Let's do it.
All right. Question number 1. The Montana Grizzlies represent what conference? That would not be.
That was a quick 5.
Conference.
Boy, was that quick.
That was not a quick 5.
That was a quick 5.
I did the arm movement for 5.
That was a quick 5.
You're saying Mark punched the button too fast?
Yeah,
again,
did.
As soon as I finish the question, the 5 seconds start, so you need to be ready. Caller number 6, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Turn your radio down. You ready for the questions?
I am.
All right, question number 1. The Montana Grizzlies represent what conference?
The Big Sky Conference.
Question number two, and listen to the wording closely. Since 2004, only three schools were seeded as overall number one seed and won the national championship. Name one of those three schools.
North Carolina.
And that was a long five. That was a generous five right there by M.O.
He definitely gave him that. That was like the in-between the block charge call. You were trying to determine whether to hit the button or not.
I told you number two was going to trip him up.
We gave him this answer during Ask Us Something About Anything.
We did. 30 days ago.
Well,
today.
Today we gave it?
Mm-hmm. We did.
All right, then no excuses. Let's go.
All right, caller number seven, you're next up. You ready for five questions, 5 seconds for $500?
Yes, sir.
All right, Montana, the Grizzlies represent what conference?
Big Sky.
Since 2004, only three schools were seeded as overall number one seed and won it all. Name one of them.
Villanova.
Nope. Villanova would be incorrect.
What did we set the over-under at?
Four.
We're at three.
Well, here's the fourth. And this caller number four, we're going to put the and he's actually caller eight, but we're going to put the pressure on you as the fourth overall caller. We set the over-under on you. Are you ready to win $500? You there,
Apparently
caller?
Apparently not. Hello?
Question number one, are you there?
No. Caller number eight was taking a nap.
Have a great weekend.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate you listening. We go down to caller number nine. Caller number nine, you ready to win $500?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's roll with the questions. Question one, Montana Grizzlies, they represent what conference?
Big Sky.
Question two, since 2004, only three schools were seeded as overall number one seed and won it all. Name one of the schools.
Kentucky.
Yes. All right, question number three, underdog UMBC upset Virginia. What does UMBC stand for?
University of something, I don't know.
You got past the hard one.
The over for the win.
Yeah, Rick won that one. Rick won again when it comes to the over-unders. All right, let's go to the next caller. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Five questions, 5 seconds for $500. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Question one, the Montana Grizzlies represent what conference?
Big Sky.
All right. Since 2004, only three schools were seeded as overall number one seed and won it all. Name one of them.
Florida.
Yes.
Question number three, underdog UMBC upset Virginia. What does UMBC stand for?
Maryland, Baltimore County.
Judge's decision.
The kid's seven. Give him a break.
Well, it's all four letters.
Look at Alec Trebek back there.
Nothing. We didn't say what does MBC stand for. We said UMBC.
Very close.
Wow.
Not quite there.
Splitting hairs.
No. On Jeopardy, you would have got the question wrong. They would have been like, judges. Burp, burp, burp. All right, caller number five, or whatever caller. We're on caller 11 now. You ready to win $500?
Yes, sir.
All right, Montana represents what conference?
Big Sky.
All right, since 2004, only three schools were seeded as overall number one seed and won it all. Name one.
Kentucky.
Underdog UMBC upset Virginia. What does UMBC stand for?
University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Yeah.
We were looking for the university. That's correct. Lipscomb University made their tournament debut this year. Where is Lipscomb's campus located?
Georgia, I don't know.
We're not giving away the money today.
Oh, we're giving away the money. We are giving away the money. Let's go to caller number 12. You ready to win $500?
Yes, this is number ready. Seven.
All right, let's see if we can get this going. Montana represents what conference?
The Big Sky.
All right, since 2004, only three schools were overall number one seeds and won it all. Name one.
Florida.
That is correct. Underdog UMBC upset Virginia. What does UMBC stand for?
University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
All right. Lipscomb University made their tournament debut this year. Where is Lipscomb's campus located?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. That is correct.
Here
All right.
Go.
Number five, and this is the pop culture one.
If you get this one wrong, I'm mad.
Who is the best-selling musical group of all time, also featured on our ban list? So close. so close.
Do we need to say Rick's band list?
That's the show's band list.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about the all show. Right. All right, caller, you are next up.
Wait, real quick, let's remind people why the question's a little tough today.
Was this one too easy for you today?
It was a little bit easier than the rest, but, you know.
All right. Caller, you are now up. You ready to win $500? Are you there?
Oh, boy.
He's taking a Snickers break. All right, I'm just going to start punching up random calls now, Paul.
Told you.
We're just going to go this route. The last one is so simple. All right, caller, you're next up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You ready to win $500?
Let's do it.
All right, let's give away some money. Montana represents what conference?
The Big Sky.
All right, since 2004, only three schools were seeded as overall number one seed and won it all. Name one.
Florida.
UMBC upset Virginia. What does UMBC stand for?
University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Lipscomb made their tournament debut this year. Where is Lipscomb?
Nashville.
All right. Finally, number five for $500. No pressure. Who is the best-selling musical group of all time and also featured on the Rick and John band list?
Beatles.
Yes. Way to go.
I just won.
Yes.
$500, bro.
What's your name?
Hey, my name BJ. They call me Juice. I'm from the north.
From that north side.
My guy.
Juice.
And you got to hate on the Beatles a little bit, too. That was awesome.
Hey, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to let you talk to the preacher, man. He'll get your information. Congratulations on $500.
Woo, we did it.
Yes, sir. Preacher, bro, man, he is happy.
We were up against it right there. Like, that was a buzzer beater. Would we have been able to take another caller right there? I don't think so.
Maybe one or two.
I think that was a buzzer beater right there.
We'd have found a winner.
What'd he go, Juice?
He was like Loyola Chicago.
Juice got the juice, man.
Game winner. Mark Owens is a game winner. Him and 92.9 The Game will be at Carriage Key in Woodstock this Saturday, 10 to noon, for a meet and greet with Atlanta baseball alumni Terry Pendleton and Ron Gant. Stop by for the chance to win cool prizes, including an autographed Kent Bazemore jersey, a four-pack of tickets to see the Hawks take on the Sixers, and WWE Raw tickets. Coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, Matt Ryan, no contract. Are you mad? We talk about it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.